Volume 34, number 11 of the New Era magazine for November 2004. Official monthly publication for youth of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Copyright 2004 by Intellectual Reserve Incorporated. All rights reserved. The Message, 10 Ways to Make a Difference, by President James E. Faust, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. The influence of just one good woman is often subtle, but can have tremendous consequences. My dear young sisters, you are an indispensable part of what the church and the world will be. As I have traveled to church assignments in various parts of the world, I have met some of you and have been impressed by your steadfastness. I can say without hesitation that you can have a perfect brightness of hope for your future and endless joy if you press forward as righteous daughters of God. See 2 Nephi chapter 31, verse 20. You are young women of virtue and of great promise. May I encourage you to strengthen the virtues you have already acquired and resolve to develop many others. I would like to speak of some of those virtues. Many people do not fully understand the meaning of virtue. Virtue encompasses all traits of righteousness that help us form our character. An old sampler found in a museum in Newfoundland, stitched in 1813, reads, "Virtue is the chiefest beauty of the mind, the noblest ornament of humankind. Virtue is our safeguard and our guiding star that steers up reason when our senses err. Virtues that help you be happy. May I suggest 10 virtues that each of you can pursue in your quest for excellence and happiness? 1. Exercise faith. I list the virtue of faith first because it is the most important. The prophet Joseph Smith taught that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation of all righteousness. I promise you, sweet young ladies, if you will strive to live the commandments, your faith will continue to grow. In exercising faith, we become cheerful and optimistic, charitable and courageous, because faith is the moving cause of all these virtues. 2. Be honest with yourself. A young woman on a university volleyball team tells of the time when she and her friend Miyuki were playing together in a championship match. I remember it being a close game. Gracie, on our opponent's team, rounded her approach, jumped and smacked the ball as hard as she could. The line judges signaled out, and the head official raised his finger to show a point for our team. We began giving our usual high fives when we noticed that Miyuki was hand motioning to the official that she touched the ball on her block. Miyuki was calling her own touch. The quiet, withdrawn Miyuki had showed an act of integrity and honesty like I had never seen before. Gracie was so impressed that she talked with Miyuki after the match. Miyuki later gave Gracie a Book of Mormon. I don't know if Gracie has read the book, but I do know that Gracie was touched by Miyuki's example, as we all were. You cannot be honest with others unless you are honest with yourself. 3. Be chaste. In the family of proclamation to the world, we read, "The sacred powers of procreation are to be employed only between man and woman, lawfully wedded as husband and wife." Furthermore, the Lord says in the Book of Mormon, "I, the Lord God, delight in the chastity of women." Jacob chapter 2, verse 28. Intimate relationships between men and women, outside the bounds the Lord has set, bring great misery, shame, degradation, and unhappiness to those involved. In contrast, when these sacred gifts are exercised as the Lord intended, within the bounds of a temple marriage, they bring us our greatest joy and happiness. We become co-creators with God in having family and posterity. Chastity before marriage, followed by fidelity after marriage, is a sacred passport to self-respect and happiness for everyone. I refer you to the excellent counsel on sexual purity contained in the pamphlet For the Strength of Youth. 4. Be humble. Humility is all about keeping one's balance. For example, when you receive a compliment, receive it graciously, but don't let it go to your head. You young ladies have learned much but you have more to learn. A person who is humble is teachable. Indeed, the Lord has promised, "For my Spirit is sent forth into the world to enlighten the humble and contrite." Doctrine and Covenant, Section 136, Verse 33. 5. Develop self-discipline. You must have the strength to discipline yourselves, so that you can accomplish your goals and enhance your natural strengths. Habits of self-discipline formed while you are young will become part of the makeup of your character for the rest of your lives. The character thus formed from self-discipline will rise with you in the resurrection. See Doctrine and Covenant, Section 130, Verse 18. The principle of work is part of self-discipline. 6. Be fair. We need to be fair and compassionate in our dealings with other human beings. The Savior gave us the parable of the unjust servant who owed a large sum of money. His master forgave him the debt, but that same servant went out and had a fellow servant put into prison for a much smaller debt. Their master rebuked him for not showing the same compassion that he had himself received, and then sent him to the same fate as his fellow servant. See Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 34. If you will be fair to other people, they will more likely be fair to you. 7. Strive for moderation. Part of the spirit of the word of wisdom is moderation in all things, except those things specifically forbidden by the Lord. It is well to avoid extremes in dress, hairstyles, makeup, conduct, speech, and music. Extremes may attract the attention of some, but they are more likely to turn off those you really want to impress. When I was a young man, my friends and I went to an amusement park where we rode the flying saucer. It was shaped something like an upside-down plate that went round and round. Most of us tried to get to the middle so we wouldn't be thrown off by the centrifugal force as the saucer picked up speed. Sometimes those on the edge would grab a friend who was closer to the middle, but that would pull them both completely off the saucer. I soon recognized that the centrifugal force was far less powerful in the middle. I was quite safe in the center, even though the saucer was still spinning. But it was risky when someone on the fringe latched onto me. I learned that safety comes from staying close to the center. 8. Be clean. President Gordon B. Hinckley gave some excellent counsel when he said, "Be clean in dress and manner." The age in which we are living now has become an age of sloppy dress and sloppy manners. But I am not so concerned about what you wear as I am that it be clean. Be sure of your personal cleanliness. Remember that you and the church will be judged in part by your cleanliness and neatness in appearance. 9. Live with courage. You precious young ladies will need a lot of courage. Courage to stand up to peer pressure, to resist temptation, to withstand ridicule or ostracism, to stand up for the truth. You will also need courage to face the challenges of life. One young woman who was a cross-country runner wrote, "I am often tempted to give up and quit during a race. During my first race this year, when I was just about to be overpowered and stop running, the words to the third verse of How Firm a Foundation, hymns number 85, filled my mind. The words gave me the courage to finish the race. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand." 10. Grow in grace. We are told in the Doctrine and Covenants that we are to grow in grace. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 50, Verse 40. Grace is a God-given virtue. It is a disposition to be kind and to do good. It is a charming trait or accomplishment, a pleasingly graceful appearance. Charm is attractiveness that comes from a feeling of personal dignity, an inner beauty that comes from a feeling of self-worth. It has been said that your expression is the most important thing you can wear. A fine young single man, I know, has a list of qualities he is looking for in his future wife. cheerfulness is at the top of the list. A woman's influence. We frequently find that the influence of good women is underrated. It is an influence that is often subtle, but yet has tremendous consequences. One woman can make a great difference for a whole nation. Esther, a Jewess in the Old Testament, saved her people. When the Jews were in captivity, Esther was married to King Ahasuerus. The king signed a decree that all Jews were to be put to death. Esther's cousin Mordecai urged her to intercede with the king on behalf of her people by saying to her, "Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Esther, at the peril of her own life, pled with the king that her people should be spared. The king listened to her entreaty, and they were saved. One woman can make a great difference, even for a nation. These are challenging times. I believe your spirits may have been reserved for these latter days, that you, like Esther, have come to earth for such a time as this. It may be that your most significant everlasting achievements will be your righteous influence on others. I testify that if you practice these virtues, you will be able to press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope, and a love of God and of all men. 2 Nephi chapter 31, verse 20. End of the message, 10 Ways to Make a Difference, by President James E. Faust, Second Counselor in the First Presidency.